Okay, we are back with a new episode of All Consumed, and we have just consumed some fantastic gelato at Bariani and Cabin Passage here in Islington. How was your gelato, Neil?
That was very, very good. Yeah, right. So I should say, yes, this is Neil Davies.
Yeah,
that was,
and I'm Chris Osborne.
Chris Osborne.
My gelato was good, too.
Our listener knows that.
That's so good. And we are here with a new episode of All Consumed.
Yeah.
You know, in
keeping
a
that run
very,
going.
Very pink room.
It is alarming, we think.
But the things we do for ice cream. Yeah. But anyway, that was
there was a distinct risk that there'd be, as you say, a 12-year-old's birthday party.
How's that
coming up to this room?
Yeah.
But so far, so good.
So far, quiet. Yeah. Anyway.
Really, that excellent.
Really good.
Yeah, and I would bring to the one in Notting Hill.
Notting Hill, yeah.
Went to a couple of weeks ago, funnily enough. After something I've been talking about, after one of many Greek meals. That I've had of late. Feels like about every third restaurant opening at the moment seems to be Greek.
Yeah.
Which is,
so it's all Greek to you.
It's all Greek to me. It's about a third. One in three. Feels this way. There's an awful lot of stuff.
Well, it's great food, man.
And I think part of the reason is that it's very approachable. It's familiar to a lot of British people. It's simple. It's clean. It's pure. It's healthy. And you can also just nip in a couple of beers and a couple of snacks. Probably get away about 15, 20 quid a head in most places.
Okay.
Which is about what Pret a Manger is. And
that's
probably
point.
Cheaper than Pret a Manger at the airport. But then again, everything is. I think cocaine is probably cheaper than Pret a Manger at the airport. It's Pret a Manger at the airport is a whole different price scale. It's alarming.
Right.
It's alarming. Okay. We'll talk about that another time. But yeah, no, so this was went to one of the older in a kind of a modern style. There's a restaurant called Mazzy in Notting Hill.
Okay.
Which I think opened about 10, 15 years ago. Only the second time I've ever been. They have a beautiful little courtyard. Go and sit outside at that point in the sunshine. Really, really good Greek food. But yeah, a couple of days before that, I'd been to Vori, which is in Holland Park.
Mm-hmm.
That's a relative newcomer. Again, very similar menu, lots of grilled fish, lots of grilled meats, lots of good dippy things in bowls and nice breads.
Okay.
And then a couple of days before that, I'd been back to Agora, which is with David Carter, he of Smokestack, and the Italian place that's just completely gone out of my head, Manteca. He opened two Greek restaurants in Borough Market, one by the other, Oma and Agora. Agora is the kind of walk-ins only, massive open grill, great breads, great dips, great grilled things, great things on skewers. Again, it's great, it's clean, it's fresh, it's delicious. So I completely understand. At any given point, you're going to be surrounded by someone who's nipping in for the aforementioned snack and other people that are there for the full experience. I get why every other or every third restaurant at the moment seems to be Greek.
Yeah.
But it's not a complaint.
You remind me of a great Greek restaurant I've been to fairly recently. I think they're fairly new. 1905 in Fitrovia.
Okay.
Really good. Cretan. So Cretan recipes, Cretan food. Fantastic if you wanted to go there for some really good Greek grilled meat. But just good with the veggies, simple ingredients. Kind of like how you describe it. Really nice place. Went there with three very different palates other than my own, and all four of us had a fantastic meal.
I
loved it. And still talk about it.
It's that there's great variety. There's a simplicity to it. I went to a place at World's End. I'm going to have to look up with a friend recently who has all sorts of allergies. That was my Googling is not helping me at this point.
No.
It will come to me.
That's
it will
okay.
come to me. We'll have to look that one up and throw that one out at the end. But yeah, they were brilliant. Cheese has to be very careful. You get full on dairy allergy and is a celiac. and they could not have been more helpful or more able to adapt the menu as well. So things like the Greek salad, they served all the vegetable elements and brought me the feta as a separate thing, so I could add it to mine. There were other things that were kind of like little, we would normally top this with crispy onions, and the crispy onions are tossed in a little flour, so they have gluten. So again, brought the dish completely in accordance with what she can eat, and brought all the trimmings and stuff to me as a separate thing. Really clever, really adaptable. Could not have been nicer. So yeah, no, I get it. I think you have different palates, different requirements.
Very nice.
Easy to do. So yeah, so more of that, please. Okay. Which doesn't seem to be a problem, because one in three restaurants at the moment is Greek.
Yeah, okay. Been enjoying any other nice meals?
Yeah, actually there's been a place, it kept popping up on my social media. Saw a few people go, called Norma's in Queensway Market. Fantastic Malaysian restaurant where there's kind of one woman in the kitchen, who is Norma. There's one guy doing front of house. There's maybe 26, 28 covers we counted. In order to book, they don't have a phone line. You have to go to their website, typically the 6th of the month before the month you want to book.
Okay.
And you make a request. They release the bookings at 10 a.m. on that day. You request the date the following month
because
that you
it's
want.
So popular,
I think it's just so tiny. They don't have a phone. They don't man all the stuff.
So they have one person who can do it one time.
Yeah. I think it's Norma's daughter that actually processes everything. And then, yeah, you put a fill in an online form that goes off. Then you get an email back, hopefully the same day or the day after, saying yay or nay. And then if it's yes, you confirm that you want the table. They remind you on the day. Hop along, very limited menu, but of great, great Malaysian food. At the end of the year, when we compile a list of the best things I've eaten, I'm fairly convinced the roti from this place is going to be one of them.
Right.
Astonishing, simple, flaky, fatty, really, really good bread. We did kind of the four or five of their signature dishes. There's no license, so we're on kind of milk tea and things like that, and water. Had some great fried chicken, there's a really good rendang, beautiful piece of sea bass, a couple of different laxes. And between four of us, the final bill came, and it was 23 quid a head.
That's not bad.
Which is astonishing at the moment.
You're walk it off in Hyde Park, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, that's incredible.
Just. And then, at the end of the meal, we went to settle up, and it hadn't really crossed our minds. Well, it crossed my mind that day that maybe they don't take cards if they're not that technological on the other stuff. But I said, no, payments were digital payments were fine. And they are, but it's bank transfer. So at the end of the meal, we did think they were like, ask us for cash. We didn't have cash. One of the friends offered to remain as collateral. And they're like, oh, no, but you can. And they put down a laminated card with their bank details on. And we just sat there finishing the last couple of mouthfuls with them, like tapping in their bank details, banking apps, and paying them.
Sounds like they're focused on the food, not much else.
Exactly. 23 quid a head. And Queensway Market is one of these fantastically eccentric little markets.
There's a little Indonesian place in there, isn't there?
There's all sorts of random stuff in there. It's great. There was an Uzbekistan place. There's tarot readers. There's some that'll help you with your visa.
What does that taste like? Tarot?
Yeah.
Tarot cards.
Somebody will help me with visas, all the little things. Okay. Just, it's brilliant. It's the sort of little eccentric shopping centre. And apparently there's one of those just off the Holloway Road with really great tacos, which I think we're going to have to go and track down at some point.
Okay.
So it's a little North London adventure. But yeah, so what about you, mate? What have you?
Oh, gosh, wow. I have had another great gelato at another place recently. So here we are at Badiani's, originally opened in Florence in like the early 30s, 1930s. So gosh, almost 100 years old.
That's a long, isn't it?
Yeah. another really classic Italian gelato place, Don Nino, Roman ice cream place, has just this summer opened in Paddington, just like the little, kind of like almost like a little mall just beside Paddington Station. It's over where Oaxaca is and some of these other, I think there's like a either an M&S or a Waitrose right there as well. But right there in that little shopping center, this place is fantastic. How does it compare to this Badiani where we are right now? I would say they're equal. If I had to choose, I'd probably go back to Don Nino, particularly for one flavor of ice cream I had there, or gelato that I had there, and that's the Fior Gelato.
I'm with you on that. My default.
Yeah.
I mean, these things, it's the great conversation you have with people. Oh, so you want the vanilla? No.
Yeah.
No, I really want the Fior Gelato.
So that was really, really good. They had a pretty nice pistachio as well, a very nice pistachio as well. And I had tried them years ago in Rome,
right,
and was just really surprised when I found out they had opened here. So there you go.
I said, yeah, that's good to, it's good that they're there. I like the fact, I popped into Gialupo the other day with a couple of friends, and then went back with some more friends about a week later. Again, still great. It's nice sometimes to walk away from like a restaurant, go and take a stroll and just have a little dessert elsewhere. I think it's quite a nice kind of roving thing to do. We're doing all right on the ice cream and gelato front.
You know, I can remember, it feels like when I first moved here, you couldn't get ice cream, nothing like decent anyway. That seems so weird. And there were like so many Italians here too. So you'd think there'd be at least one decent gelato place, but it wasn't until maybe in Gialupo, Scoops.
Yeah,
I don't know if they're still around, but around Seven Dials, Scoops was really good, but it was so weird.
Yeah.
You couldn't get like a quality ice cream here. Now you can, and obviously, as we're saying here, we're just spouting off names of great places. But anyway, strange to think there was a time.
And Bottarga. Bottarga was the restaurant.
What's it called? King.
Bottarga was the restaurant on King's Road that I was talking about, who were absolutely
really
fantastic
good with the dietary requirements. Yeah.
Yep.
Very
so,
good.
So what else have you been?
All right. Wow. Well, I think we are recording this on what, Sunday, the 31st? I think this is the last day of this show that I recently caught, and that's the Oshitomo Nara show. Some people just know the artist as Nara.
I've seen the posters up all over London.
Yeah, huge show at the Hayward Gallery over at South Bank. Excellent show too. Really sort of naivete to it. Like you're drawn to it because it's really simple, childlike images. But then you look at it and you see all the layers and time that's gone into it, and all these different colors and the choice of color. And most famous for these sort of like images of a little girl with fringe, and just really simple but powerful emotions. A lot of them really angry, and there's a lot of anger in the work, but it's presented in an almost kitsch, very cute way. And it was a phenomenal, huge show. I loved it. What was also interesting was just who was there. Everybody that would ever say they like art, which was like kids running around having a great time, people who looked like art professors, people who looked like they were just coming from their studio, just tons of people. I can't think of a exhibition I've been to recently, in the past few years, where it was such a full spectrum of ages.
Oh, that's good to see.
And
that's really
like
nice
everyone enjoying. It's not just you taking your kids there or the kids are in tow with the parents, but everyone of every age seemed to really enjoy it. So don't have a chance to see the show anymore, but I'm guessing it might be a on tour type of exhibition.
Something like that.
And Oshitomo Nara is not a secret.
No.
Very well regarded.
That's
artist,
interesting. Yeah. An old art teacher friend of mine always used to say, if I ever, one time I commented, a bank that I used to work for, I was given a book of some of their collected artworks that they had collected from one particular Swiss artist. And the cover of this particular book was a transparent plastic cover, and the artist had put something original on each of these books, and I'd commented to an art teacher friend that I'm not sure it's really my thing, but I don't know enough about the thing, modern art, to really comment. And his response was, if you have an emotional response to it,
yeah,
that's all that matters. Mm. That doesn't matter whether you understand it or know it or an expert have read up on who it is. It's the emotional response. And something that hits all those generations is, yeah, really good. Actually, you've also just reminded me.
Oh, what's up?
I was walking through Lincoln's Inn Fields on Friday. And have you ever been to the Hunteria Museum?
It's been a while, but yeah. Did you go there?
I did. Dear Lord, that's an eccentric collection.
Yes, yeah. Anything stand out for you?
Well, quite a lot. Oh, okay. Quite a lot. It was just bizarre. The fact that, this guy John Hunter has been credited, one of the founding fathers of kind of anatomical knowledge of all sorts of things. But there's a sense of, there's a big plaque on one of the walls as you go in about the fact that when he was at school in whatever century, 16th, 17th, I think, he wasn't great at reading and writing, but liked to cut up animals. I was like, well, I was at school with a couple of people like that, and they certainly didn't go into medicine. It was a very different time.
A very interesting time.
But just the collection of things and animals and body parts and diseased body parts and diseased animals and Winston Churchill's dentures and mole with extremely small testicles. It felt like a very personal attack on that particular mole. Just phenomenal. And it's just shelf after shelf of these incredible things and instruments and drawings, and then they kind of bring it into the modern day with kind of stuff on sort of x-rays and bits and pieces. But we stumbled into it thinking, oh, that could be quite interesting. Yeah. And about an hour and a half, 2 hours later, came out kind of reeling with this fantastic British, fantastically eccentric free entry. They request the donation. It's absolutely barking, but kind of brilliant.
And Lincoln Fields is a great little area as well.
Yeah, so you got the Sloan, the John Soames Museum, just the other side. There was a bit of a queue for that, which is what forced us to to go and look at a mole with the extremely small testicles.
Was it our last episode when I was talking about the stuff in Edinburgh? Or is it the episode before that?
Good question.
Well, anyway, you reminded me of the Surgeons Museum that I talked about on whatever that episode was in Edinburgh. And that's also kind of wonderful, but horrific in some ways, too. Like the reality of the physical world we live in. Yes.
Absolutely fascinating stuff. And then there was this point, but he was being sent things from all around the world. And all sorts of random creatures and bits of elephants.
Well, look at these. testicles on this ball.
Once you get to the...
That's quite interesting, because I actually have a small mole on my testicles. That's different, though, isn't it?
So, my dear Mr. Hunter, have I got something for you? if we said, assuming he was married and just like... Like, John, there's a delivery.
This one's still alive. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Remarkable. Yeah. Absolutely remarkable.
Well, one thing, also thinking of that last episode we recorded, which was, near Borough Market, what I thought was interesting, Neil, was when we decided to go to Spring Street Pizza for this last episode, I made plans to visit Brindisa Spanish grocery at Borough Market before meeting you there. And then when we left, I said, hey, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to go by Brindisa. So you've made plans to go there afterwards. So I think we should highlight stalwart of not just Borough Market, but London.
Yeah.
Food scene, excellent Spanish food shop. I have it in mind. I know when I need to go there and what to stock up on.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic chorizo, specifically. Always love getting chorizo there. Other things. That's a really nice gazpacho there.
Yeah. Once. The Torres crisps.
The Torres crisps. We mentioned them in an earlier episode, too.
Yeah, those almonds are great.
Yeah, the little flaps.
Yeah, I picked up a little sobrasada there the other day. Spent an inordinate amount of money on some Iberico. And then outside, I'm sure we have celebrated this before, the OG sandwich from
the grilled chorizo with rocket.
Yeah, rocket pepper, simple bread, drizzle of olive oil. Yeah, back in the day, kind of that whatever, 2004, early days of Borough Market.
Funny to think street food wasn't like a thing.
Exactly.
At least not as it is now.
And that was, there was always a queue.
Yeah.
Before, this predates like Bill's Toasted Cheese, it predates every other bit of hot
food. Every other queue there, pretty much.
And that was the thing you queued for. I stood behind Jay Rayner on several occasions after a bit of shopping, waiting for a chorizo roll from Brindisa. And it's good to see. Still hoping at the moment, the ginger pig seems to be the TikTok sensation. Their sausage roll
is a good sausage roll.
It's a very good sausage roll, but I'm hoping if that means TikTok is now looking at things that actually taste good as opposed to just look good on the gram, maybe
there's hope for
one
society.
Of these days, the Brindisa chorizo roll will get its little moment of social media love.
Well, they seem to be doing well, and that's not their only shop. It's not even their only shop in Borough Market. They got the restaurant
there.
So, anyway, and also, speaking of stuff where we've been like-minded, that's a concert we went to last weekend.
Yeah. We went out
to see, I just want to say REM, but it was an REM tribute band.
It was, and what a tribute band. Yeah, I'd gone out for lunch with a friend a few months before who mentioned the Hollywood actor Michael Shannon, he of the very intense look and very intense performances.
It's a great actor.
In Boardwalk Empire and such, like Revolutionary Road.
George and Tammy. He is amazing as George Jones and George and Tammy.
A phenomenal actor, very intense, and apparently huge REM.
Maybe his one of his best works is as Michael Stipe. and this tribute band.
Yes.
And we were there, and it's Michael Shannon with Jason Narducci. Narducci, who has some college rock, alternative rock cred. He goes back. Mm-hmm. All right. But they were doing, what is it's a 40th anniversary of Feeling Gravity's Pull?
I think their thing
album
is,
by REM?
Their thing is to play an REM album in its entirety, in track order. So yeah, we watched Fables of the Reconstruction.
Feeling Gravity's Pull is the first song. Fables of the Reconstruction
is the album.
But what an album to choose, man. Those are not...
It's not an easy...
No, it's not an easy album. Some of it's pure pop joy, like Driver 8.
But. Yeah. And they were astonishing. And then they also play a lot of other REM stuff. But from...
Some of my favorite songs. Actually.
There's it's a lot of old school REM things. There's a lot of obscure REM things.
Yeah, my girlfriend would have told you when she was a big REM fan.
Mm-hmm.
But she was like, oh, that's a different... I wanted the girly REM, I think is what she told me. She loved it too, but she was expecting everything from, say, 1995 or something.
I think if you're expecting kind of like early Kate 80s. Pearson era backing vocal, bouncy, poppy REM.
Which is great stuff too.
Also great, but yeah, very, very different. But yeah, this was, going back to, this was stuff that... a fellow student played me in my last years of kind of school and sixth form and stuff.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that. Again, I didn't know a lot of what they were playing.
Well, coming from Georgia and actually living in Athens, Georgia, where I went to university and where REM's from, when I first heard them, I was still, 12, 13 years old, something like that, and blew my mind. I really liked it. And then when I heard they were actually from... the same state I was from, I was like, no way. It was like, suddenly I felt like where I lived was just a lot cooler than living in Athens in the early 90s. You see the band members, particularly Michael Stipe, all over the place, but they had just gotten like superstar big at that point, but still trying to be like townies. And then just, but the thing is, if you lived in Athens, Georgia, at that time, you could never play REM. You never listened to it.
right?
Anyway, but I remember through the 80s, through high school, being a big fan, and then seeing them on tour once, and that was great. And then, the other night at the Garage, just really up the street from us, on the outside of Highbury and Islington Station.
Yeah, kind of sort of stumbled in. Nice concert. The friends who told me about the gig, and we booked it, and then I mentioned it to you, and you booked it, and then we tried to meet up with you, and by the time you got in, and by the time we got in, there were a lot of middle-aged men in between.
Yes,
It was quite.
Yeah, it's funny because I do not know the lyrics. Mm-hmm. It's impossible to decipher early Michael Stipe songs, but I know how to syllables that kind of match and can sing along to every song on their first probably three or four albums. And it was nice to do that with a bunch of other people in a room together.
It was astonishing. Musicianship was great. I was there with my wife Angela, who again, like your Angela, aware of REM from sort of the later days. And I'd shown her the set list from they played Glasgow a couple of nights before. And she's like, I don't know any of this. I'm not sure I'm going to enjoy this. So she made sure she'd listened to Fables of the Reconstruction before we went. Two and a bit hours went by. We have been known to have to leave concerts early, early because of a boredom threshold, but didn't kick in.
No, not boring at all.
So phenomenal performance. Yeah. Hopefully they'll be back with whatever the next album is.
And played a lot of great songs and a lot of deep tracks or whatever. They even did a song off Dead Letter Office, which that's an REM fan there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was a great show.
Yeah,
thanks for pointing me in that direction.
Did he tell an anecdote about playing something to
REM,
and they didn't remember.
They didn't remember recording it, or why did you choose that?
Ostensibly, it's the sort of thing you might read up on and go, "Oh, this is just for the purists." It's really not. If you're, I think it's for the music fans.
Yeah.
Again, emotional response.
Oh yeah,
that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, especially if you've been listening to a band for 40 years and they no longer exist as a band, and somebody comes along and does a more than reasonable facsimile of their early stuff.
Other gigs they played across the states, various members of REM have turned up and played.
They didn't do that here. No. It is still a great show.
But
anyway, speaking of music, what's that? something coming on the horizon.
Is that The Year Was Strange?
By E-Nub.
Little signal to wind this up. I think we've managed our usual 25 minutes.
Yeah.
A little over.
Now, anything you want to
not really mention? Just from a social media perspective, I was tracking down at Dinehard on Instagram.
Yeah.
We've got the All Consumed Instagram as well.
All Consumed Pod on Instagram and allconsumedpod.com.
And for yourself, Chris?
Yeah, no, just look, you'll find me there.
Yeah. Loitering.
Yeah, loitering.
That's you in the corner.
That's not me in the spotlight. Man. I lost my religion a long time ago. Probably about the same time I first heard REM, honestly. At all. I don't think they're connected, but maybe they will be. And on that note, thanks, Neil.
Cheers, Mike. Always a pleasure.
Cool.